The scripture lesson this morning is chosen from Romans chapter 1, Romans 1, and we're going to work through a few verses this morning, and that is from Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. You may look at the screen to follow along, or you may also open the church Bible, which is the NIV version, the older version, and the one on the screen is NIV, the newer version. So the book that we have in the church and the screen is slightly different, but they are all the same international NIV version. So just so you know. So Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 9 through 12. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Bonnie, your story and the cow picture remind me of my childhood. Back then, I was born and raised in the northern part of Burma near the border of India. Mountain places. So New Hampshire, like if you drive up to like a Plymouth area, New Hampshire, and or White Mountains area, I'm sure any mountains areas, it sort of remind me of my native land, my birthplace. And growing up there, we had no water supply, so no plumbing system and no water coming through the house. So in order for us to have a drinking water or cooking water or washing your face, we have to walk about a mile downhill to the river and to fetch water. You all know what fetch is, right? You don't just drink the water, you bring the water back. So part of my family chores was to do that on a daily basis, at least once or twice a day before school and after school. So true stories, when I was old enough that I pray and pray to God day and night, this is real. I pray to God and I say, God, you are a mighty and a powerful and awesome God. You created the heavens and the earth. So God, please move that river next door to my house. And immediately God said, you are a fool. He didn't answer that prayer right away. But you know, I pray about that. Because the Bible said pray for anything. Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Pray always. The sermon title this morning is Take It to the Lord in Prayer. So men and women, I don't know why you came to this building this morning. I do know that you came here to worship the Lord. But whatever reason you're having in your minds and hearts and making you either have a long face or a gloomy day or whatever week you went through or whatever week you're anticipating for the next week and next month, I just want you all to know that the Lord knows what you're going through. God indeed is sovereign and he is real and he cares about you. And so when I pray, and it was in my childhood, for God to move that river next door to my house, he didn't. But I pray anyway as I went and fetched, because no choice, because we got to pray and we got to work. So I still fetched the water in order for us to get cooking water and cleaning and so on and so forth. And I kept doing and praying, but it took about almost two decades finally, for God to answer that prayer. No, God didn't move the river from the bottom of the mountain. In fact, what God did was he sent missionaries to my native land who recognized the need. And with the fund, they were able to bring water from the river to our house and to the village. And that would be the case, I believe, for Rwanda. As we pray together, as we work together, that we ourselves indeed will be the answer prayers that the world is asking and praying for. So that is real in the context of our scripture this morning. Paul, we studied this weeks ago, that Paul was so impressed by the faith of the Christian in Rome, because the very fact that there could be Christians, believers in the city, a city that filled with corruption, a city that filled with emperors that knew no God but called themselves to be God, Caesars. Caesars were known as God, and they proclaimed to be themselves God and no one else. And the community at large was living in a place that deny and reject God. And Paul was saying, really? Wow, Christians in Rome? He was so impressed. Not only was he impressed that he thanked God through Jesus Christ that their faith was known throughout the world. Throughout the world. The greatest advertisement for Christianity or Christian faith are not programs or ministry or the things that we try to do, not even preaching, but true believers who are converted from darkness to light, from night to day, like Paul, like us. We are so different, and we should be different. We are new creations. When people ask us to say, how come you have so much joy, so much peace, so much forgiveness, so much grace in you? We should be able to say, oh, you should have met the old me. That wasn't me. Remember Saul. Remember Paul. He was a madman. Talking about temperament. He get mad at everybody. He killed people who he disagreed with. That was Saul. He was persecuting and killing Christians. But when God changed his life was filled with love and compassion and grace and mercy. And the very fact that he, for Paul being made to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That he's now being able to say, whatever I have, I consider them lost for the sake of Jesus Christ. This Paul is now writing this wonderful letter to the Christian in Rome. And first he said, Carrie, do you mind putting this back up the text? And he proclaimed that God whom I serve in my spirit, he said, God whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of the Son, of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. Men and women, I want to encourage this morning that prayer, like Paul, prayer involves hard works. Prayer involves a dedicated service to our God and to do the things that he called us to do. Oh, so someone has said this: praying without working is robbing the glory of God. It's a mark of God. If I say, well, you know, I pray all the time and say, you know, God, I want to preach a sermon and I want to minister to your people, but if I never read the Bible and sort of never read do the research, it's not going to work. We all have to do the work. You and I need to have the work. How did Paul do this? As he prayed, as he remembered the people, the Christian in Rome, though he wrote this letter to Rome because he longed to visit them. Remember, Paul had never been to Rome, never met these Christians, and he longed for years. He really desired, he longed to be with these people. That was the desire of his heart. He really wanted to be with these Christians. But God didn't answer his prayer in the way that he wanted. He wanted to be with this Christian right away, as soon as possible. But since God has somehow hindered that plan, what did Paul do? Paul prayed and ministered to the people around him in different cities throughout that time. But he constantly remembered the Christians in Rome in prayers. I want to encourage you this morning that the model of Paul's prayers life ought to be for our prayers life, the way we ought to pray. Not what we should pray. Jesus alone teaches us that. The Lord's Prayer. And if you read the Gospel of John, God's prayer for unity of his people in John chapter 17. That we may be one as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus is the one who taught us what to pray. But if you look at Paul's life, the way he prayed, it ought to be a model for us. Paul prayed day and night without ceasing, constantly, fervently, for anything that he desired in his heart. He prayed day and night, and he remembered the people in his heart with love. And he treasured them, and he prayed for them. And when we pray like that, and when we pray like that, and when we work like Paul, no matter if the prayer didn't come at the moment, but there's delay there, that the timing is off somehow, but remain faithful to God and pray to God day and night with all our needs and bring before him, God indeed answer our prayers, will answer our prayer, because God answered Paul's prayer. Not in the timeline that he wanted, but Paul finally got to Rome. But let me tell you this, we don't read the whole story of that right now, but in order for Paul to get to Rome, he got beaten. He got stoned at one time. And he was put in prison. He got shipwrecked. He went through all the low valleys of his life, struggles, challenges, difficulties, you name them. He went through it. Now, mind you, Paul was a tough missionary, guys. I mean, he was out there busy, staying busy, and he wasn't afraid. He had courage. I mean, he did, but as a human being, think about this, how discouraged that must be for Paul. I mean, he was serving God, and he was doing good things now. He wasn't persecuting Christians and killing anybody, but he was serving God, and in the midst of that all that he wanted really was to get to Rome. For him to get to go, he had to suffer through, and he went through all the pains and the low valleys of his life. Imagine of your life. Imagine our lives right now. We too pray for certain things. We too pray that God will intervene, God will come in our lives. But and yet we go through the circumstances, difficulties, and challenges. And I want to encourage you that, yes, God answers prayers. And sometimes those prayer answers, the answer prayers are us, not our circumstances. Although it's both, God answers our prayers for our circumstances to change. But the answer prayer real is for us. God changed us through that prayer. Doesn't he? He made us stronger. He made us believe in the things that we couldn't believe before. And finally, we could only give credit to God for the things that he had done. Only he and he alone could have done. I shared that story with you last week of a woman being healed only through by the power of prayers. But when you talk to God, when you pray to God day and night like a friend, like when you bring before him everything's in your heart, your joy, your pain, your struggle, your concern. I mean, you talk to God day and night. Like Daniel, who prayed to God 3 times a day. In church. Oh, praying like Elijah. Remember, Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and to show God's power, and Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it came through. It did not rain for 3 years to show God's power and God's majesty. He prayed for that. It came through, and then Elijah prayed again that it would rain, and the rain came down, and it provided good soil and crops and fruits grew from the ground. This is true then, and this is true now. A man, you know this by, you have heard this before, Martin Luther, the reformer, would say that he's so busy, he has so much going on in his life, that he had a lot going on in his life, in his ministry, that in order to get through the day, he must pray 3 hours a day.
Think about this. Praying 3 hours a day. You got to consider this. What would this man say to God 3 hours a day? I say we ought to pray like that so that we have nothing else to say, but we pour everything out to God. The change that will come is in our hearts. We will be changed. We will be transformed. And that's what Paul said to these people. The Christians in Rome, I pray for you day and night. I pray, I remember in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open so that he may come to you, he may come to them. You know, Paul relied on God's will and God's way as he prayed. He trusted God with the unseen. He trusted God with everything and saying, you know what? In my spirit, I'm serving you wholeheartedly, God. I serve you like no other man or no other woman. My service, my ministry is sincere. I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. But now I'm praying that I would go to Rome, but I pray that by God's will, you open the way to come to this people. He still trusts that God will be the one who will open this way. Men and women, when in a situation when you pray and say, God, I don't know how this is going to get through. How am I going to get through this? Or how this situation is going to be resolved? But I trust that by God's will, there will be an open door. Have you prayed like that? Have you asked God to truly intervene in your situation day and night like Paul did? And trust in him with the result. That's what Paul is saying here. I did that. And I remember you. And he said, I long to see you so that, here you go. Why is Paul reason to want to be in Rome? We learn this now. Paul was, yes, so impressed with the big city, the capital city of the Roman emperor. I'm sure the monuments and the buildings and the incredible structures. And I mean, we think about, we say, well, Paul really wanted to go to Rome because he wanted to be a tourist. He want to visit, he want to go for sightseeing. Well, that's not the case here, right? It said, I long to see you so that what? As he has been praying and praying and praying for them, he wants to be a blessing to them. He said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Men and women, we need prayer. Why do we need prayer even as Christians day and night? Because we need to be strong, isn't it? We need strength. We need to be established in the Lord. Our minds, our hearts, our soul. They need to be established even as we are Christians. Being a Christian really is the beginning. But being strong in the Lord, being established in the Lord takes works. That's like saying this hurricane's coming and category 4 or 5. And you're saying, God, I'm scared, but I can make it through with your help, with your strength. That strength, that is being strong in the Lord. Oh, not just in dangers of nature or circumstances. How about when we are so discouraged, so disappointed, and so down and so lost that we don't know what to do? But still hear the voices of God and Jesus saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I have proven that on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, we know it by heart. It's like almost like a Christian cliche. But can you really imagine, put in your imaginations, when someone says something to you, or someone has done something to you, or when you lost your loved ones, or when you're so discouraged that you can remember that cross, you can remember that amazing love of God on the cross and saying, I'm be okay. I'll be all right. I'm going to be all right because God loves me that much. I am a child of God. That is strength. That's called being established in the Lord. Paul wanted that to be true for the Christian in Rome. Why? Because he knew that their faith will be tested by difficult circumstances. temptations of the community, the society of good life and prestige and power and persecution. Oh, they were going to need this strength and blessing, spiritual blessing. Paul knew that. So he said, I want to come to you so that I will be a blessing and give you a spiritual blessing to make you strong, to strengthen you. In some Greek translation, it said that the strong is translated as strengthen, establish. To establish you, to strengthen you. Oh, don't we need that today? Don't you need that? Don't I need that? I do, and you do. Why? Because we are living in the world, men and women. We're living as Christians these days. As scriptures say, we're living in the last days when people will not yield to God's will and God's way and God's truth. And we dare to claim and saying, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We're not ashamed to be known as Christians. No matter what, we will pray. No matter what, we will work. No matter what, we will follow the Lord. That's going to need courage and strength. Men and women, you're going to need it. And yes, the answer to that is that we have the Lord. We have the Lord who will walk with us, who will side by side, who will encourage us. This is not just a theoretical talking, folks. This is not just a hypothetically speaking. Our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, in Africa, in the Middle East, in the Northern Africa, they are now going through just that. Their faith being tested left and right with physical persecutions to a point that they will ask to recant their faith. Not doing so would be a death penalty, immediate death penalty, a sudden death. That may be true for some of us here today. I don't know. I hope not. But as we look at our world, our community, our nation, men and women, we're heading that way. This is no lie. We will be tested. We will be asked to stand up for Christ and be counted. What does that mean? We will hold on. We will be asked to hold on to God's truth and God's holy principles. Even the people around us, even our own families, folks, even the people that we love and dear and work with, they will reject God's truth day and night. They will say there is no God. Day and night they would say, who cares about God's truth? We will be called to be the people standing up for his truth and his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. We will be called to be people of the cross. You know what that means? Forgiving others even when it hurts. Loving others even when we think it's impossible. For look at the cross, that's what Jesus did. And still, even with our burdens, our challenges, calling out to God and say, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. That kind of love, that kind of grace. That kind of trust in God, completely to say, like our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Paul is a great role model for prayer. But let me remind you, there's no one like Jesus when it comes to us learning about prayer. Jesus prayed, the Son of God himself prayed day and night. He prayed, he grew, and as the scripture said, he grew in favor with God and with men and women. And he grew in wisdom and stature as he prayed, as he worked, as he served. And in throughout his ministry, Jesus prayed to God constantly that he will be in the will. He will do all things under the will of God, that he will be in tune with God the Father. And he constantly withdrew himself to lonely places to pray. Only John 17 tells us, the Gospel of John 17 tells us at one point what Jesus prayed for, specifically towards the end of his life. But we didn't know what Jesus prayed for throughout his ministry. Nevertheless, Jesus withdrew himself in lonely places and prayed. I could imagine that he prayed for strength. He prayed for peace. He prayed for joy, the joy of the Lord. He prayed that he will be totally under submission to God's will. Men and women, I believe we as the church are called to pray at this time. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you just say simple grace before meal and say, thank you, God, for this meal. That helps. And when you get on the steering wheel in the car and the guy just cut you off in front of you, you forgot to slam your brake or go, oh, God, that's the type of prayer. That's the type of prayer. You can call on God anytime, any moment, emergency situations. But the kind of prayer that God wants you is what Paul is modeling for us here, and what Jesus modeled for us, is to spend time with the Lord day and night without ceasing, constantly, bringing before him. Tell God all that is in your heart as one unloads one's heart. Talk to him like a father, a mother. He is our heavenly Father. Talk to him, pour everything that you are carrying like you have nothing else. No lack of what to say. Then you will grow in intimacy with God so that what you want, what you desire would be in line with what God desires. And his psalm said, delight yourself in the Lord, for he will grant you what? The desires of your heart. Paul prayed. He prayed day and night. Even when God delayed. He praised God, he thanked God, he worked, and he served God. Prayer and dedicated service go hand in hand. And sometimes the unanswered prayers, the delayed prayers itself, are the works of God for his ultimate purposes. I want to conclude with this story. There was a man in a shipwreck. He was lost in sea, and he was the lone survivor, and he got washed and land up in just the middle of an island in the middle. And the man had no Boy Scout experience, no survival skill, but he struggled day and night to survive, and he cried out to God, and he was in sorrow and broken. And finally, though, that he was able to build a hut for himself for protection, shelter. So one day he was out there hunting for survival and hunting, looking for food and just hunting out. And when he returned, he found that his hut was on fire. And some of you are whispering, and I said, I know that story. I've seen it before, right? His hut was on fire, and he ran back and said, God, how could you do this to me? The only thing I have for protection, the only thing I have for shelter, you let this happen to me. How could you, God? And he cried, he was so hurt, he was so broken that he fell asleep in his tears. The next morning he woke up, the sun landed on his face, and he heard people, and he saw a ship right next to him, to the island, and coming to rescue him. And he was overjoyed, and he asked the people and said, how did you find me? And they said, oh, yesterday we looked up and we were heading east, but we saw your smoke signal, and we knew how to get you. What's the point of this story? Our delays in our lives, our unanswered prayers. In fact, when you trust in the Lord, truly trust in the Lord that God has a plan for you, the plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, like Paul, you will get to your Rome. You'll get to that promised land that you will receive what God promised for you and I. That is that his joy, his peace, his love, and ultimately, the person that will be changed, the answer prayer, will be you, because it is God's will that you will be strong in the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.